There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast on the left.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
First man has the power.
Honestly, what's weird is that, do you know if you look into the actual lyrics of What a Fool Believes? It's esoteric in nature.
Is it?
What a Fool Believes. What is that, Steely Dan?
What a Fool Doobie Believes.
Oh, wow.
Is what
the
he
hit
sees.
Doobie Brothers.
No. What a Fool Believes. But what
Michael
he sees.
McDonald for Doobie Brothers, right?
Yes, it's Michael McDonald.
Okay.
Who's
Doobie
a genius.
Brothers.
He's technically a modern wizard. Again, fully ignored by No Dogs in Space.
Yeah.
Not even allowed to be considered.
No, they won't mention anyone like that.
Absolutely
because
not.
No one really seems to care.
No one is really clamoring for the history of Michael McDonald. How does Michael McDonald fit into the pastiche of American music?
I am a fucking part of the American fabric, and it is for me and my ilk. It is for me.
Yeah, pretty big piece of big piece of fabric. You get it.
See, what a fool believes, he sees a wise man has the power to reason away what seems to be.
Mm-hmm.
So he understands he could see through the cloud. Allegorical teaching understands that the map's not the territory.
I sent you a song today by a band called Black Widow called Come to the Sabbath.
Come to the Sabbath. Come
to the Sabbath. I don't want to go to the Sabbath.
You chose to talk about the Doobie Brothers.
Wise man.
Welcome to the last podcast of the left, everyone. Ben hanging out with the recently hip Henry and Marcus Parks. Nothing wrong with the Doobie Brothers, although I don't think anyone really needs to talk about them. So it's interesting.
What are you talking about? Doobie Brothers.
Brothers. They're not brothers.
Where's the Doobie?
I don't think they smoke doobies.
Where's the mother Doobie? Where's Father Doobie?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Father Doobie. He's incarcerated. Also, I know.
Unfairly.
We have a.
Due to draconian early marijuana laws.
We have a really special episode. We're going to break down some of the greatest stories of would you say the month?
The week.
The week?
This is just the last week, man.
This is just last week, and we'll do a little bit of a deeper dive into Stephen Paddock, which I think is going to be fascinating. But I have some breaking news.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Break it.
And this comes out of Kenosha, Wisconsin.
I mean, because again, boots on the ground. They went straight to Kissel because they know he's the true people's advocate.
Yep. Kenosha, Wisconsin, home of the Kenosha Kickers.
Yeah.
If you watch John Candy and Home Alone.
Oh, yes.
Kenosha Kickers. I have been informed by people that live there. The Piggly Wiggly is no longer accepting pig points.
Now, what this is going to do.
So if you do have pig points, I got a message from a woman.
This is going to hollow out the Slurpee getting economy. Yeah. Like, it is going to. That's like wiping out the dollar in Kenosha.
It's a big deal. I got a couple of messages. There's one woman. She says, what am I going to do with my 3,879 pig points now?
Technically, Piggy Wiggly is telling you to take those piggly points.
Yep.
Piggy points.
Pig points.
Right. Sit on them and spin.
Exactly.
And then it's not fun.
Isn't that crazy?
Now, let me ask it. Was there any indication, hey, we're going to stop taking pig points in September?
From the information I've received via DM from people on the ground, reporters, no.
Abrupt.
It seems like you just, Tuesday, pig points, come on in, use them.
It seems.
Wednesday, the pig point. No longer offered as currency.
If you
what
go,
is this, China?
Seriously, if you go to the actual website, thepig.net, which is the Piggly Wiggly website, we're still talking pig points. It is honestly,
they
in a new
points?
System. It says here, introducing your new pig points membership, according to the website here.
Okay.
They're still saying it. Easy
so they're
to
still
enroll.
Saying it. So maybe it's an individual Piggly Wiggly in Kenosha.
You know what they did?
What?
This is a protest against the recent vote on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Wow.
This is deeper because it's still available in Walter Tree Plaza, Florence, South Carolina. Ladson, South Carolina.
Wow. Yeah.
Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Here's the interesting thing. What I found is that it seems as if there are two Piggly Wigglies. The pig.net.
Wait, what?
Yes, that is more of the South. However, shopthepig.com.
Yes.
What?
That is your Wisconsin Piggly Wiggly.
What anything on fucking, pig points there,
is this
Marcus?
A smoke screen? Where am I supposed to go? Who's in charge of it? Where is Joe Biden?
I did not know that we had split the pig in two. This is quite fascinating information. Marcus, anything on pig points in the Wisconsin shopthepig.com?
They call it Pig Points Plus, by the way.
Pig Points Plus.
That's because that allows you to get diabetes faster.
Okay, great.
Pig Points Plus, it still has the same, rigmarole that they've probably had for years as far as how to earn points, track points, redeem points at the pump, redeem pig points on grocery items. You know, that's the thing. That woman's saying that she has over 3,000 pig points.
She said she had over 3,000 pig points.
That's interesting to me.
Do they roll over?
Because that's interesting. because points expire 90 days after the last use of your rewards card.
Oh, she's going in and out of the Piggly Wiggly. Yeah. This is Kenosha.
She's good. There's a lot of traffic. There's literally there is a worn out pathway from her home to the Piggly Wiggly.
Of course. You know where to get it.
Well, you're going to have to tell her fucking ass to relocate to Mullen, South Carolina.
Wow. All right. Well, breaking news. I'm sorry to be the bearer of such sad news in Kenosha. You might have to uproot your entire family and go to South Carolina to cash in those pig points.
And I don't know if the infrastructure is going to hold in Mullins. Because I don't know. I think Mullins, all it really has is the stool factory, and that's not even a chair. That's literal shit. I don't know what's going on in Mullins, South Carolina.
Well, have fun. Shop the pig. Go work at your stool factory job. You'll certainly have a lot of work to do that day. Okay, Marcus.
Shop the pig is what my parents used to say when they took me to the grocery store.
Go shop the pig. Oink, 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 oink.
Which case, he needs to get his hoof steps in. I'm having fun with a roast of myself.
Roast yourself.
Yes, indeed. Anyway, some Kenosha news there for you. All right,
and that
Marcus
was his research for the week.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. I loved it. I loved it. Technically, it wasn't research. Technically, people just told him things.
It was boots on the ground. I have eye reporter. They're called eye reporters.
He's delegating.
It's his street team.
It's my street team. It's my Piggly Wiggly street team. Anyway, Marcus, let's get to some less important stories.
We've got some big true crime news this week. However, we're going to start small with true crime Relaxer. We're going to start with a whimsical true crime story.
Okay, whimsical, whimsical.
A Portland man accused of stealing an $80,000 forklift from a Portland State University parking garage and driving it erratically at least 15 blocks through downtown laughed, quote unquote, maniacally he chased a pedestrian and chattered to passersby, quote, I literally stole this.
That's incredible. Drive it like you stole it. He is being hyper literal on a fucking Monday or what he's doing, but that's the dream.
Now, my question is, when it comes to forklifts, how crazy can you drive them?
I mean, because they go pretty fast.
What do they go? 35?
This is interesting. A witness at the Portland streetcar stop near Southwest 6th Avenue, she said she saw they drive the forklift at a pedestrian while laughing maniacally, but he said he was going so fast. He was keeping pace with cars.
Yeah, man.
Well, how fast were the cars going?
35. I mean, I think 30 at the very most, but 25 at the very least.
That's trucking.
It's a scary day for that pedestrian.
Yeah.
I guess.
Guy's got a great name. His name is Joffrey Zielinski.
That's my bro.
Joffrey Zielinski?
Well, this is the key. I'm going to say this, ladies and gentlemen, okay? We all know I have pontificated endlessly about my love of giant machines and how I'm going to use them to enact some form of civil revenge at some point in an unannounced city somewhere in America or Europe, right?
Yes, of course.
Know this.
Inspired by Killdozer, perhaps.
Well, yeah, because again, only because with Killdozer, he never killed anybody. He just, you know, he sort of loudly expressed the fact that sometimes life drives reasonable men to do unreasonable things.
Yes,
right?
Yeah,
we know this.
I don't know if he was that reasonable to start with.
But this is what I want to say. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you see a construction vehicle going through town, and especially one that's got a big scoop, get up in the scoop. Ride along with him.
Oh,
make it a movement. Go alongside
him. Like a hayride.
Protect him from the police.
Right.
You all stand around it while the thing's doing fucking, you got to do the eights. He's doing the infinity circle in the parking lot, right?
Right.
And you're all hanging out and making a
like
barbecue.
A human shield is what you're requesting them to be.
But then you turn it into a parking lot fair about independence.
Well, so it's a float for freedom.
Well, let me ask you this. Is it different if, say, for example, Killdozer? Mm-hmm. Killdozer.
Marvin
Heemeyer. He constructed that.
Yes. He did.
He absolutely did.
That's American ingenuity.
This man broke in behind a locked fence and just drove it away.
American ingenuity.
That's the other half of American ingenuity.
Drive it like you stole it.
Uh-huh.
They're expensive, huh?
Oh, yeah, 80 grand. But 80 grand is like, that's doable.
Most farm equipment is well into the hundreds of thousands.
Oh, very much so.
Isn't it crazy expensive?
Oh, extraordinary. I know exactly how expensive it is. Yeah.
What about all these tanks and stuff that we have just hanging out, melting away? Why don't we just get them to become farm
equipment?
The cops
are buying them.
No, I know, but even we got a surplus of tanks.
Yeah.
Maybe we should start giving our farmers tanks.
But this is what I'm saying,
it's
man.
It's a bad idea. It's a really bad idea. Oh, yeah.
No.
They need to stay with the corn.
Do you know they're up early. They go to bed at night.
No, that's a problem. They're too
up early.
They're up
to bed early.
Do you know how how much time my ranching family spent, but me with them as well. Do you know how much time we spent over Christmas setting out explosives about 100 yards away and just shooting them?
Well, we just need to let
see how big of an explosion we could make.
They got to just stay farming. They got to be out
they
there.
They got to stay,
just stay with the beans.
You don't want to give them the opportunity to blow up bigger things more often easier.
Now, it's either an indictment on your family or the millions of people that have farmed before.
It is not it is not just my family, sir. They sell this stuff regularly at gun stores.
Yeah, you can buy explosives anywhere,
yeah,
man.
You can buy Simtex.
Yeah, it's very easy. But that's why, like, I feel that we...
It's fun, though. I mean, honestly, it's super lucky
it's super
childhood.
Fun. Yeah. No, it's not. I'm not talking about childhood. I'm talking about Christmas 2022.
Yeah, no, this is
recent
soon.
Christmas.
Yeah, this is okay. Recent. A lot of people think just having a couple of guns is going to protect you from the government. But actually, you kind of need an infrastructure. You kind of need a bunch of stuff going on. That's why it's like, if they're going to have tanks, we should be allowed to use construction equipment to defend ourselves against the tanks.
I mean, I think if you bought some big ass piece of farm equipment, bring it into your garage, you can do whatever the hell you want with
it. Oh, yeah, I can.
But you can only bring it on the highway one day.
Oh,
and
of course.
That's it. That's the big day.
Yeah, and of course. And that's why I'll spend all my time painting it like the American flag. Oh. And then I have sparklers hanging off the side of it and my megaphone going with the twitch.tv/lastpodcastnetwork painted on the back of it as I go and I circle around the highway saying, like, we demand attention. We demand
well,
attention.
You know what? That's not illegal, Henry.
It's not.
That you can do as long as it doesn't tear up the roads.
Mm-hmm. Court records show that Zelensky had a 2014 conviction for theft and possession of methamphetamine.
Oh, that's the X factor. Well, I am just inspired.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't need meth.
Yeah.
No, what did he steal in 2014?
Not clear. However, he did also go into a diversion program for driving under the influence of intoxicants in 2021.
What's a diversion program? Do they play like Monopoly? Or?
I believe it's a rehab program, but it's a different way. I think maybe Oregon calls rehab something different.
Yeah, a like time center.
They like different. They like using different words for different things.
Yeah, know? That's why it's all falling apart there, and I got caught in the weeds. But I had to do when I got my Dewey.
Oh yeah,
when I was 19. I had to do one of those because the 6 months you lose your license, you got to go talk to people. And it was interesting. There was a woman in there and she had many DUIs. And she said, my ground drinking and driving, I'm drinking. And then the main chick who was the teacher, you know what she said?
What?
I lost my sister to a drunk driver.
I mean,
and then from there,
like
on,
romantically,
we're all like, oh no,
like, is that what it meant?
No,
like,
she got murdered.
Oh yeah. That's bad.
And
yeah.
Then the whole rest of the class was like, this isn't fun anymore. And then this woman who was mourning the death of her sister because the drunk driver didn't do it right, yelled at us like, we did it. Yeah. I didn't do it. I was driving in a university parking lot going real slow.
I remember when I was in high school, we had a teacher who told this story during class one day, this very tearful story about he had a student once that he loved and respected and he was wonderful and he was killed by a drunk driver. And one of his friends was drunk and he was very tearful and it was very moving, you know, and it makes you think twice. I found out years later, I asked him about it. Turns out, he made the story up, and he just tells it every year to high school kids.
I like him.
I like him, too.
That's called material, my friend.
I liked Coach Arnold. Arnold was okay.
Hey, man, you know how many stand-ups are like, you know, last week, my wife, she said, they never, it's all fake.
Yeah.
It's all fake. They never did it yesterday.
Yeah.
Especially on late night. They're full of lies.
Yeah. You've really cracked them down.
Yeah. I'm taking all infrastructure down with me. And this is just a taste.
You can lie. I mean, I will say, if you do want to get into stand-up, you can lie about most of I got a blowjob.
Yeah, the guy lied about his family dying in 9/11. And he got a whole career out of it.
That was the problem. Mm-hmm. But then it got bad because... But that was a lie that got out of control.
Yeah,
I almost feel bad for him.
Yeah, this guy built a whole fucking infrastructure on his lies. He built a whole DUI sympathy network.
Yeah, he had a whole name for the kid and everything. I think the name was like Obie or something like that. It was a weird name. But that's the thing, is that it was a weird enough name where you're going to remember the name.
That's the problem, though. He's like, his name was Dontrello Montgomery. Just making shit up.
I love Dontrello. That's the one thing that you can tell when people are lying, because we've watched a lot of police investigations. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. People be like, I was 14 feet away from the victim at the time at 11:31 with 14 seconds.
It does not work.
And in no way would that be possible then for me to be there. More specific, the more chances are you making it up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And especially they could see in your behavior before they arrive. They're watching you.
As soon as you get in there, oh, yeah. It's showtime.
They're mm-hmm. watching you. So you really need to remember, frown, put the frown on when you arrive. Like, remember, practice.
I don't know what happened.
Before you do a heinous act to God knows who has it coming. Practice your mask work.
I'm so afraid of the lead up to the Stephen Paddock story.
We are going to get there. The FBI will talk about it. Released a whole dossier on Mr. Paddock because he's been more of one of the more like, what the fuck
what
characters?
The fuck happened?
What the fuck happened? Characters in American true crime history.
Well, let's move from prankish behavior to a prank gone wrong. Okay.
So nothing happened. So the guy's fine.
They found him 10 blocks away. They cornered him on the wrong way on a one-way street. He just got off and he just kept shouting, I literally stole this.
That's over and over and over again. It comes down to it. That's just a fun day.
There you go.
Yeah, and they asked him where he got the forklift and he said, quote, some parking garage. I don't know.
Maybe he was upset about his pig points being taken away.
He might have been.
Live from your grave.
Well, next story. 21-year-old Tanner Cooks said he was recording a prank video inside a Sterling, Virginia mall when 31-year-old Alan Colley allegedly shot him in the stomach.
Now, I don't believe that anybody should be shot over comedy. I don't think anybody should ever shoot a comedian.
No, I don't think anyone should be shot over anything unless someone is literally breaking into your home with a gun about to kill you. Other than that, people shouldn't be shot in general.
But this guy made a mistake, a crucial mistake.
The YouTuber made a mistake
because he looked at this guy and he thought, oh, this guy'll take a ribbing. They did not really go into details about what the prank was, but it did seem to involve a type of him approaching a man that he assumed did not speak English, something like, and then he was using Google Translate to say a bunch of either fucked up or inappropriate things in a prank style manner. But if you then realize the true skill of the impractical jokers of being able to dissemble people's reaction to them saying something highly inappropriate, it shows it actually is a skill set.
This man
bombed and then in his own bombing got shot.
Also, impractical jokers, they're total legends. They're one of the few people that do it with a good heart.
They do.
I'm just going to say this. And I'm going to go full on. I'm going, folks, you're a pinhead. I'm going full Bill.
Oh, God.
I'm going full Bill.
Oh,
right.
No. This is not a good Bill.
No, this is good.
Stephen Paddock story.
This is good. He deserved it.
Wow.
I am so sick. License plates. Why do I care where you're from?
No one should be shot.
I am so sick.
No one should be shot.
But I'm saying, you're going to do a prank. You're going to come up. You see people in this grocery store. They put like a hat on someone's head. And then they're like, what happened? And then you get taken down. People are stressed out.
Yeah.
And I am sick and tired. Why do I care where you're from? Water bottles. Okay. I am just saying.
You've done the water bottle speech without the Bill Riley voice. Yeah.
And it's not even his speech. That's Andy Rooney's speech.
I'm really channeling my own Andy Rooney.
Yes. Yeah.
But I am so aggravated.
I'm very interpolated right now.
With the people that just come up to random people and try to do little pranks for the YouTube video. You don't know what someone's going through.
It just needs to be... It needs to be lighthearted.
Well, Tanner Cook, that's the guy's name. His name is Tanner. He said,
Tanners can't be funny. I'm sorry. You can be president. That's the most correct thing
you've said so far.
Yeah. Yes. Well, Tanner said, I was playing a prank and a simple practical joke, and this guy didn't take it very well.
No, he didn't.
You didn't do a good enough job, Tanner.
Again, that's called bombing. Bombing for comedians can be very dangerous.
And what's incredible is that the guy didn't say a word. Tanner was playing a prank on this guy. His name is Colley. Colley did not say a word, simply looked at him, pulled out a gun, and shot him in the stomach.
Well, Colley is named after a dog, and I'm
sure
that's
his last name.
Well, that's even worse. It's a family of dog fuckers, so they're the Colleys.
His first name's Alan.
He looks like someone who is recently in need of drugs.
Yeah.
And
yes, it's worn off.
The thing that you mentioned, Henry, when it comes to IP and practical jokers, IJ.
I'm
so stupid. Yes. I'm really stupid. When it comes
take everything with a grain of salt.
Yeah. Today, let's do full pretzels.
Yeah. We're little pretzels today.
Yeah.
You have got to scout. You need a producer
that
scouts the right mark.
That's the idea. And you set a scenario where the pranks come. That's why it's good to have an infrastructure where you, like, you set it up. When Impractical Jokers do their bits, right, they have a whole team in there that are watching it. They catch you. They have also, they've built an experience to understand. Who do you approach and who do you not approach? And you figure out, well, the main thing to do is what you guys, we were talking a little bit when the story first came out, which is never in somebody who is in withdrawals of drugs.
No. That's what it looks like.
You need someone freshly high.
And I don't know
that'll be into it.
I don't know what the fuck it's going to take for people to understand. And I'm almost saying this with almost an amount of pride. White men from 25 to 40, don't talk to them. They're scary people. They are, have we
don't
not
talk
followed
to them.
The news?
Don't talk to them. Talk to them. Yeah, no. Yeah. Do not talk to them. Leave them alone.
They find are scary.
Find a friendly person or a younger man.
Because all they think about, I did. I was superior. I don't feel very superior. Where the fuck is my privilege? Mm-hmm. And then that's all they're thinking. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you're going to go do a joke in front of them?
No. I don't know. This is really touched up. This touched a nerve in Kissel.
It's well, because it's but a you know bad what? Comedy.
I might be sharing this nerve with Kissel just a little bit.
It's interesting.
I'm seeing where your nerve is.
It's there.
All I'm doing is that what I'm doing is I'm putting a hand over the nerve and I'm saying, Henry, don't touch that nerve.
I'm not trying to, but I do love the statement from his father, Jeremy Cook.
The father statement's made.
I love this because this is
a comedian.
Yes. Now, this is definitely a comedian's father's response. They were making a video at the mall and trying to have fun with people, and this guy wasn't having fun. There was a phone that was around him, and they were interviewing or talking to him, and he didn't like it, and he pulled out his gun, and he shot my son. Now, we need restoration. We need healing. And we need to come together. I pray for this young man. I pray that he finds God in this. I believe that God saved our son's life, and he could have easily died, but that's not the outcome. God has plans for my son.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to be the fourth in Impractical Joker since the unquenchable loss of Joe Gatto. They have not been the same, and we all know it. Joey Fatone is not a proper replacement for Joe Gatto.
You can't just cover Joe up with celebrity guests.
You can't
do it.
Captain Big Belly.
You
can't do it.
I know.
And then the grandfather weighed in immediately after that. He said, it's surreal. It's obviously been unnerving and some fear running in and out, but we live on faith, not fear.
I just think the household.
A Christian prank show is fucking awful.
I hope it's not.
Oh, it's really bad.
To be honest, I'd understand more the shooting if it was a Christian prank show because don't fool me with Christ. You know what I mean? I'll take anything. You can joke me with anything. I'll take it.
We have too many guns, right?
Oh, yes.
But we all know that. So with that knowledge going in, to the mall and you're like, let's make a joke. Let's see who's armed. Let's see who's not armed. Maybe do one joke. Be like, got any guns? And like start with like something. Be like, how armed are you? You know, like stuff like that.
Well, but I'd love to find out the true nature of the prank because it does seem on one end
annoying.
If it is annoying in general.
Yeah.
Right. We know that. We just know that in general. Because again, it's a certain skill set in order to properly break the ice with somebody. But I'd love to find out whether or not it was like, you remember in Wonder Showsen when they did What Riles You Up, Harlem?
It was wonderful.
What Riles You Up, Harlem was my favorite bit ever because just the sheer nature of asking somebody with a puppet going like, hey, what makes you angry? Like, it's awesome television. It's great. It was like a great set, but
Triumph the Insult Comic Dog also knows how to do it.
But Wonder Showsen, those guys talked about how they had to stop that bit eventually because they were getting physically attacked.
Yeah.
Right. Every time they did it. And then they were like, hey, you know, we are just comedians. Like, yes, we are, like, we push the boundaries.
No, but you don't want to push the boundaries with public people who don't know that their boundaries are being pushed because people are highly unpredictable animals.
Especially right now.
Especially right now. You never know when somebody's still going through brain fog and they don't know and they're going to get real mad because they're confused.
Yes.
Well, that's a hyper-specific thing for you, Marcus.
It's across this great country of ours.
It's across the country. It is absolutely the theory that we have going right now that brain fog is why people are acting so fucking crazy because people with lower intelligence get really mad when they get confused and they're getting confused more often because they have brain fog from long COVID.
Yeah, I think it's the sugar. So
that's Ted Bundy's defense. That's literally, oh my God. Oh God.
Don't even get me started on my theory that long COVID is the reason why the housing crisis is so big right now because people are physically unable to work. And the reason why none of the fast food jobs are getting filled is because people cannot physically do these extremely physically demanding jobs. And I think in 20 years, people are going to look back at the housing crisis that we're going through right now. And they're going to see that long COVID is going to be one of the biggest reasons why we have this crisis.
racism.
Racism is another thing.
Another thing. I'm saying there are many factors.
Yes. Okay, but long
that's code, why I
we'll
say
put
we should.
In, we'll put it in the omelet.
Replace us all with robots.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's Great. Make it the onion in the omelet.
All right. Very good. Well, either way, so the lesson here is, if you are a prankster, you want to be a rising YouTube star, scout properly, and make sure, I would say, bring the person that you're talking with in on the joke.
Yeah.
Don't make them the butt of the joke, because everyone is angry.
Well, also, make fun of yourself.
That's always very good. It's disarming. I have a sense of humor, too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know. But despite his injuries, Tanner Cook said it will not stop him from creating videos.
He should stop.
Hey.
I'm going to say you got shot.
No, it's the ultimate note that you'd get it from the end of a run at a comedy club.
He's not.
It is 50, the ultimate, that's the feedback. Let's think about this material and maybe we'll zhuzh it up and move on.
This is the difference between musicians and comedians. He's not 50 Cent now.
No.
This isn't Billy Joel Schaefer shaving off three of his hands.
No, it means he's going to be.
This is a comedian who got shot because he wasn't funny enough.
Well, now he got shot. It means he's going to be bulletproof during the primaries.
What the fuck is the next story, Marcus? I've been trying to purge my brain.
Bulletproof during the primaries.
What does it even mean?
I have no fucking clue what you're talking about.
I don't know.
Now that Robert F. Kennedy is running, are you scared, Joe?
I'm going to vote for him.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm voting for Robert F. Kennedy. I can't wait.
That's a great idea.
Going to South Africa for our next story. It's not necessarily true crime, but it certainly is related to death.
Cool.
Oh.
Good.
Members of a church in Johannesburg, South Africa, are reportedly in shock after their deceased pastor failed to resurrect after spending nearly 2 years in the local morgue. According to a report in Opera News, the pastor has been checked and it has been confirmed that he is still dead.
I've been tugging on his dick for weeks. Hey, he just won't get up. I'm trying to figure out whether or not he was alive or not, held in a bit of a marriage to the sword of his
head. Is that how they sound?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my name's Ronald. My name's Ronald, and I've got a gambling problem.
Seems like I got a gambling problem in New Zealand.
I can't stop gambling. I can't do it. My name's Ronald.
Okay,
Stephen Paddock. You doing a South African Stephen Paddock?
Yeah.
I have to say, I can't believe. Where's my pants? I'm not getting treated well enough. It's a holy
Oh, my God. Well, that is not a reason to go to Piggly Wiggly in Kenosha and do anything wrong.
No.
The most thing you can do in order to get back at the pig, you can throw a shelled peanut at it.
You know what? Or you could just go to a different store.
No.
Go to a different store.
There's no more Piggly Wigglies.
Go to Culver's.
Yeah. No, they're all owned by Kroger's.
Yeah, Albertsons.
Have you noticed that? Yeah. Kroger's card is now every card.
You know, it's bad.
Except for Ralph's.
No, Ralph's is Kroger.
What?
Yes.
Ugh.
Man. Ugh. I can't escape.
You can't escape.
I can't escape the Matrix.
Let me check my fucking rewards card here. No, it just says Ralph's. No. My rewards card it's still branding. Just says Ralph's.
It's yeah, branding. Because...
They go to Culver's.
Culver's is a butter burger restaurant.
Yeah.
We're talking about supermarkets.
Grocery stores.
Yeah, fucking make your own stuff.
So you're going to go and you're going to order a bunch of food from Culver's, bring it home, deconstruct it, and make your like lasagna?
Yeah. Get all your ingredients that you need are at Culver's. And you just order
I would love to see that.
Pull it up. That's like a Food Network show that we should do.
Also, by the way, that Super Size Me show has been debunked more times than I just watched somebody on YouTube who said he only ate McDonald's for 3 years and he lost weight.
We did this episode to be easygoing and we're going to receive more emails about this episode than any work or the dozens and dozens of hours of work that went into Gilderoy.
Do you remember that
scene
where
one email that was like, I think you did a good job, but I felt the pushback at the end was a little harsh. And just being like, cool, thanks.
Yeah.
That's it. We're going to get ripped apart for the next 2 weeks.
It's just people were like, oh, this poor guy, he has to eat 3 meals a day. You know how offensive that video movie must have been to someone starving?
I don't think anyone that was starving was going to be able to rent or pay a ticket to go see Super Size Me.
Oh, sure. They play him on buses and stuff.
This is all too early for the debunk Super Size Me conversation.
This is
3 a.m., like sitting there being like, I'll tell you, none of the things full of fucking shit.
Supersized Me, Lionel.
He also supersized every meal.
Yeah. Me and my friends went and saw Supersize Me because it came out when we were in college. It came out like 16, 17 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And after we got out, I told them that it made me hungry for McDonald's.
Me too.
And they called me disgusting.
And you're just
like, how could you possibly be hungry for McDonald's?
It's because we're
seeing all that.
We're in Texas Tech and I'm hammered.
Yeah, I looked at McDonald's for an hour and a half. I love McDonald's.
Exactly.
How could I not come out of it wanting McDonald's?
Also,
I went and immediately I was like, ooh, I'm going to treat myself. I didn't get a dollar cheeseburger that day. Mm. I went and got a quarter pounder.
Are we also not going to pretend that motherfucker gave McDonald's like $50,000 that month?
We had to. Because if not, they were going to sue him into absolute total nothingness.
Oh my goodness.
Back to this dead pastor.
Thank you.
Friends and family reportedly visited Siva Moodley's body in the funeral home to pray that he could be restored to life.
They need a defibrillator machine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was dead and embalmed.
Mm.
But that didn't happen.
Don't
and the funeral home
life.
Was forced to obtain a court order to have Moodley buried.
Yes, bury this man.
Mm-hmm. Nah. And you know what? I'd be like, nah, you fucking keep him.
Yeah, if you want him, you keep him.
Who gives a shit? You think he's coming back? Well, good. I'll get his taxes again.
You know what they could do is limited run vodka, put little pieces of his body in all the vodka. Kiss the toe with Rasputin's big cock or something like that. There's a toe in a drink.
Yeah. There's a toe in
kiss
a drink.
Kiss the toe. I think it's in the Yukon. I think it's in Canada. Pretty sure that's Canada.
I don't know. I didn't know Yukon was Canada.
Yukon is Canada. It's a large swath of Canada, but it's largely inhabitable because of the tundra and also all of the oil. That's where Canada's entire economy comes from, the oil that they pull out of the Yukon.
Pop quiz, hot shots. Who won the NCAA men's championship?
I don't know. It was one of the two teams that should have. I remember it being so boring because nobody cared about who was in the finals because it was two teams that didn't come. I mean, if it was like Loyola.
The Sacramento Braziers.
No.
Was it the St. Miggins Devil Boys?
I love the St. Miggins Devil Boys. I love them. They are like, their merch is fucking sweet.
It's so super cool.
I have this pair of, it's panties for boys
that
I've been wearing from them, and that has been awesome. My dick and my balls keep sliding out the side of it. And,
right.
And it is cutting me. Yeah. Like, my taint is getting cut.
Right, because we have different parts down there.
Yeah, but it's nice. Yeah.
UConn. UConn.
Was it the UConn? Wow.
It was UConn.
Trick question.
Yeah, what a waste of a college.
Yeah. No, it's quite a successful college.
But I don't think it's in the UConn.
No, it's in Connecticut.
Mm. Well, Moodley, the founder of Miracle Center Ministry in Johannesburg,
thank you,
is believed to have died on August 14th, 2021 at age 53.
Wow.
But his body remained preserved at a local funeral home because his family believed he would be resurrected. In life, Moodley preached about the possibility of miracles, according to the ministry's website. Quote,
at the Miracle Center, miracles really are normal. Cancers healed, blind eyes and deaf ears opened, legs grown and gold dust are just some of the regular miracles.
Wow, that's
what you can expect
great.
If you come to Miracle Center Ministry.
Just go to the hospital or something.
If
you
die,
I mean,
do you think you pray and pray and pray, and then the wrestler gold dust shows up? And then what does he do?
He kisses the nape of your neck gently.
No, he gives you
covering it in makeup, like leaving it.
Gives you the shattered dreams.
Is that what his final move was?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's fun.
Cool, right? He kicked people in the balls.
That's what his finisher was, huh?
No, that was just one of his things. It was a slam. It was a slam bam.
Would he pretend to
his signature moves was kicking in the balls?
The signature moves. But his finisher, he would be sexy first, right?
And well, then he would do that throughout the match.
Yeah, because he was always like flirting. It was all about like fear of, it was like, it's true fear of the gay.
But then
when he got
Luna Vachon, then he went into more of a BDSM kind of phase. But then he regretted it, and then now he's like fine with it.
Well, he's doing it good because I feel like, didn't he say like that was a stereotypical approach to playing?
Well,
a gay
he was just very drunk.
Yeah, he's very
yes,
drunk.
He has having a small drug problem because of all the pain.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Well, according to a manager of the funeral home, Moodley's family failed to claim the body for 579 days after the pastor died. Employees made 28 attempts, including emails, more than 40 WhatsApp messages and attorney's letters to contact the pastor's wife and children for instructions on what to do with the body.
I mean, honestly, you dig a hole and throw it in.
But the thing is that
they didn't have permission, though, because when Moodley died, his wife allegedly told The Undertaker she had a vision her husband could be resurrected. The family took the pastor's body to the funeral home, but never consented to burial or cremation. And by South African law, the family has to consent as to what you do with the body. So the funeral home was in a bind.
Very interesting, because you, first of all, they're not doing anything to help him be resurrected, because doesn't God help those who help themselves? Wait, there should be some advanced ritual.
He was supposed to be doing it on his own.
Oh, like on the other side?
I think so.
He's supposed to be doing the work, too?
But they took all the blood out of his body, so if he did come back, he would just die in toxic poison that's insane.
Oh, he's screaming.
So what if he did try to come back, and he's like, you took my blood out?
As his insides were fucking fully pickled.
That's one of my favorite street jokes. It's like, what would Albert Einstein say if he was alive today?
Get me out of this casket!
Yeah, get me out of here! Get me out of here!
Of course. That's
bam,
how they also
bam, 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 bam.
That was also a Princess Di joke.
Oh, that was also a Princess Di joke. That's good. You can apply it to really any person who's
any dead beloved person.
Well, Princess Di, there is a lot of speculation she is indeed still alive.
Is that speculation?
Yes, there's a lot of speculation on
that. Is that who Meghan Markle is?
Yes, Meghan Markle is Princess Diana.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you got to be like, it's so interesting because they're sitting there and I feel like there's I blame laziness. There's
for
no, because when they try to bring back that dead kid, we talk about this Ozark church that was at a little boy, I believe it was a little boy, die. Mm-hmm. And then they said that we could bring it back over 3 days of praying. But they did it was when Bruce Springsteen prays Rosalito three times at the end of the concert? It was like that. Like they were singing were praying and there was a lot of stuff. There was a lot of laying of hands.
Oh, yeah. When the little boy died during the service.
No, the boy had already died. They just brought him in there to they did special services saying we can bring the boy back to life.
Wow.
We can bring him
that
back.
That is such a fucking gamble.
It really was.
That's a lot of confidence.
This is the same church that claims that they grew the woman's three toes back.
Show me the toes.com.
And they still haven't. We haven't seen
have
any.
Not.
Not even a pair of fake toes.
No.
We haven't seen. But it's interesting because that's why we're like, so he's just rocking back there and they're just sitting he'll get up.
Yeah.
He's rotting for 2 years. I think the family probably secretly hated him. I think they probably want this. This is huge folklore for the family. And as long as he's not buried, they can still be like, you never know when he's coming back.
And they get the attention.
They get the attention.
Because it's this, they get to live and be mournful and be special.
Also, assuming this is quite a religious community, this man is probably considered quite a higher elder.
Well, not necessarily. It is a religious community, absolutely. Because listen to what the director of the funeral home said. He's a man, the last name of Dutoit. Dutoit said... You're trying to push the hand of God to do something that he doesn't want to do. If he wanted to do the resurrection, he would have done so long time ago.
Not wait for
months or a year. Quote, right. I don't know where they could have come up with this stupid theology.
I love a moron.
That
worker.
Is interesting.
That's Bone Slicer. That's literally him just being like, I don't understand.
God is a 14-year-old
God
boy.
God is fake.
And the parents are like, did you clean your room? And he's like, no. I didn't want to clean my room. So God was just like, I didn't want to resurrect him.
So we have to nag a god to do something?
This isn't happening.
Well, after the family had been silent for more than a year, the funeral home raised health concerns in court.
Yeah, what the fuck are they doing with this body?
They were trying to be respectful, I think.
Is gone.
Yeah.
Come on now.
They hoped to obtain a court order to bury Moodley by the end of the year, but it didn't come. Finally, this year, officials decreed that Moodley should be buried. This is the interesting part about it. The pastor was laid to rest last week at West Park Cemetery. His siblings and extended family were in attendance, but his wife and two children were not.
Oh, she hated him.
Yeah.
It is.
These were the people that kept yelling, he's going to be resurrected. He's going to be resurrected.
Well, you better hope not now.
It's the literal same energy as showing up thinking that JFK Jr. is going to show up at a Q conference where
we just don't know.
I'm holding out.
Oh no, we're all holding out.
But the idea of looking, they were trying to show a big protest. They're doing that that they're all taking a page from the same playbook of like, we are going to boycott my husband's funeral because we believe this and no one else does.
I also think if JFK Jr. did somehow miraculously come back into this realm and know why he was here to
he'd
be the vice president of Trump,
to fucking,
he'd shoot himself in the fucking head.
Oh my God. He'd be like, these are my constituents.
These fucking troglodytes. Go back to whatever that realm was.
Do you remember the way he went out? Which was like him banging, I forget who it was.
Very
he was like,
attractive.
He had his own magazine.
It was a plane crash.
He's not coming to fucking Deloitte, Texas to look at all you fucking shitheads.
No, he's not going to fucking Jacksonville. He's going to Kennebunkport.
Oh,
Kennebunkport.
Right staying. Back to Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, yeah. No, he's not going anywhere fucking south of the Mason-Dixon line. Are you fucking kidding me?
We just don't know.
You think the afterlife is going to eradicate the wasp blue inside of his blood? I don't think so.
You remember the last time a Kennedy went to Texas?
Oh, we all do.
Bad things happened.
Yeah, his head fucking just blew up like that.
it must have been the heat.
Yeah, I think that's
must
what it
have been the
he should have had a Gatorade.
Hey, honey, is there a bee around? I feel like there's something on my head. Well, isn't that sweet, though? We should all be so lucky to pick up the brains and really see the mind of our partner.
Will you do everything possible to make sure my body is not interred in a grave?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you're not going to be buried.
I'm saying this right now. I'm coming back.
You're not coming back.
No, I'm coming back.
So it's not.
It's
just
called an encore.
Oh, man. When I was at WrestleMania this weekend, I was hoping because Andy Kaufman got inducted.
Yeah.
I was like, if Andy's still alive,
it'd be a good boost.
I think you'd be dead anyway.
Yeah,
anyway,
he would be. So did I just sign myself up to store your corpse?
Well, no, it'll be at the studio.
The corpse will
be at the studio. Just keep it on ice.
On ice.
In the pool. Like, literally, like, fill the pool with ice. Mm-hmm. Just let my body float around in there for a while.
Sure.
And just don't let anybody touch me.
Okay.
Until the government makes you do it.
Okay. I feel like it's more going to be
protest.
Like.
And then protest.
You know what I've always wanted to do? Because, you know, I'm such a Randy Kraft fan.
Oh, you know, he's number one.
I've always wanted to take a turn real tight and throw a body out the car. So maybe we'll prop you up in the passenger seat of the truck.
Everyone will get to do it once.
Everyone
can experience it.
That's what we'll do. Road rash.
When I die, we will run a true crime experience camp.
Oh, hell
where you get to do all sorts of things with the dead body that you kind of maybe thought about, but you don't want to go fully into it because maybe it gives you the ick or you're like,
pluck the eyeball
thinking,
out.
I'm a father. I'm a mother. You know, you're like one of those people where it's like, but then, you get to like, what's it like to haul a body from upstairs bedroom out to your
car? How hard is it to do?
How difficult is it?
And maybe then we can finally have a little bit more respect for
the serial killer.
Yes,
finally.
How much work did Ed have to do? What's his lumbar support?
That's
also,
none.
Eddie must have had some bad lumbar.
Can we even tease what we
no,
did?
I don't
no,
think that
I
we
don't
can.
Think we can.
But we are going to be part of a great Ed
I don't think
experience.
We can say anything about that.
No, we can say anything?
Yeah, I don't think we can just yet, can we?
I think we could say we're a part of some Ed Gein experience.
I think we can say that. Yeah, that's
an
fine.
Experience.
I wonder what that means, though. What do you think it means?
A new theatrical event. Peter Dinklage is Ed Gein.
Oh, man. Dink the Dink.
Honestly, he would be great.
He's going to crush Ed Gein.
Summer 2024 at Universal Studios Florida, the Ed Gein experience.
Oh yeah.
4D.
You fucking wait. When it's Trump's fifth term and he refuses to die and it's 2078 and it's the Ed Gein experience at Universal and all of our shithead grandkids. Thing is the Ed Gein experience is here. And everything is going to be horrible.
Well,
and
more
people are going to be congressmen.
The key right there is
probably be better.
You keep them labias, right? You look at them labias. Don't stick your dick in it. Like, that's the whole experience. It's just like trying not to stick your dick in it.
Oh, you have to go through the labias of, oh my goodness. You go through the whole human corpse, but in a ride.
But you wear tits.
You have to.
Perfect. I love it. Or you ride in a titmobile.
Titmobile. Like nipple belts for the little seatbelts. Yeah. Nipple belts.
The actual, it's kind of like in
you go through the graves.
Yeah, and it's
go through the graves.
It's like, you know, like on a log flume. You know, you're riding a big log. Instead, you ride in the skin suit.
Cool.
Nice. Yeah. And also, let's not forget the power of 4D now.
Power of 4D.
So that's even, this could all be screens.
Squirt the smells in.
Oh my, if we could simulate the smell of Ed Gein's home.
I certainly wouldn't be having sex with him. The smell was just too bad.
God, I wish
if you could. The smell was just too bad.
I know there's a lot of people, they harness their farts, even their burps, little canisters. If I could just get one of those jam jars and just sweep it through the air of Ed Gein's house.
Oh.
I can't, honestly, it's a smell that I don't think exists anywhere else in the world.
By the time the bodies, we know, is that by the time everything that he got to was so preserved, I feel like they would have smelled fairly neutral. It mostly was what Ed Gein smelled like himself.
I think,
you think bodies felt rotting food neutral.
I think the house would have been quite musty. And I think must would have been the overarching scent.
You think so?
He needs a HEPA filter.
I mean, what about all the blood? Dried blood has a very strong scent.
Yeah, you should know.
Well, at the summer kitchen where he hung Bernice Worden's body, that definitely would have had a much more of a scent because you're also dealing with viscera once you pull viscera out. And actually, there would probably would have been quite the smell in the living room because remember, he kept the viscera in the paper bag. So you would have smelled that. You definitely would have smelled at least the faint air of shit.
And he needed a Yankee candle.
Oh my God, yeah. I just had an aha moment.
Ah.
Speaking of wrestling, Viscera, formerly known as Mabel.
Mm-hmm.
He was with Undertaker. His name was Viscera.
I don't know. Am I supposed to connect to you?
Mabel. You remember Mabel?
Mabel? Was that like a soup cooker or like a soup chef?
No, he was a rapper. Mabel, big, fat, huge man. He's dead.
I know Mace.
No, not Mace. He's a pastor.
I remember. Oh, yeah, Mabel.
He had a character named...
I loved King Mabel. King Mabel. I loved Mabel.
He had a character named Viscera.
But that was the Dominion of Darkness?
Something like that.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, when they had the little team of like the goth wrestlers.
Yeah, Minion and all those people.
Ministry of Darkness?
Ministry of Darkness.
That's what it was.
Yeah, I kind of remember that
but
sort of.
But I didn't realize his name meant
guts.
Inner sight. Inner guts, shit, piss, blood.
That man had huge breasts.
He did. And
hey, someone's got to.
He was quite dangerous in the ring.
Oh.
He hurt a lot of people, including Undertaker.
Before he was Viscera, the Wikipedia page describes him as a friendly rapping giant.
Oh, he was. You can see. He's
WrestleMania 11.
He's got a fupa of terror.
Oh, he does. He does.
That's a strong ass fupa. Marcus could slide his torso underneath that.
You could. Men on a Mission was the name of the rap group in WrestleMania 11, the worst WrestleMania ever, but they did have a little hip hop video.
He kind of suffers from what I do, where it's like, because you know I work out.
Yeah, of course.
And you guys can tell, obviously. Yeah. But I notice that when I work out, I mostly just look fatter. Like, I don't get cut.
No.
I just get bigger.
You get more barely because he becomes more like a barrel.
My chest just, my tits just get bigger. My belly gets bigger,
but
even though it's stronger.
You're hard.
But you're harder than I was.
There you go. That's all that matters. Anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Live from your grave.
Well, let's move on to the world of AI and death.
Yay!
I don't like AI. These ChatGPT, I'll tell you one thing, these college kids are getting off way too easy.
Have you tried? It's not good.
It's still not there.
It's good enough. It's scary.
It's fine. I did actually, it did write me a really fun story the other day about Rasputin tricking a bunch of monks into turning their monastery into an ice cream factory.
You just said it's not very good, and then you just told me a story that makes you audibly happy.
It made me really happy.
So it is. Yeah.
It made him smile more than we've made him smile in years.
And then the monks at the end of the story, after they were like super upset that their monastery got turned into an ice cream factory, they tied Rasputin to the train tracks and ran a train over him.
That's fun.
It's genius.
You know, I still feel like it's our duty to beat them. We got to beat them.
Yep. And coming up soon, a No Dogs in Space series on The Monks.
Ooh, good point.
Wow, that's just a famous band.
It's no Doobie Brothers.
It's a very famous
band. The Doobie Brothers have an entire family involved.
They're not a famous band, but you're going to love them. You're going to love them.
China Grove is also a great song.
I like China Grove.
I actually heard Fat Lip by Sum 41 on the way over here.
Mm. You know who else I like? Fun. Fat Lip, the artist, the rap artist.
The rap artist.
We don't know.
A Belgian man reportedly ended his life following a 6-week-long conversation about the climate crisis with an AI chatbot.
See, he was already going to do it.
He was.
I don't think so. I think the chatbot probably put him over the edge.
Well, according to his widow, who chose to remain anonymous, a man named Pierre, not his real name, but Pierre, they figure he's Belgian. Let's call him Pierre.
That's a good fake name.
Yeah. He became extremely eco-anxious when he found refuge in Eliza, an AI chatbot on an app called Chai.
Oh, God. It's after the worst drink at a coffee shop?
Yeah.
Eliza consequently encouraged him to put an end to his life after he proposed sacrificing himself to save the planet.
Well, it's supposed to yes and you. It's like supposed to do this to you.
I mean, I've been talking with Bard, and it actively argues with you.
Those are the good ones. The bad ones are supposed to reiterate.
See, this one, Eliza, it's a bootleg AI.
Yeah.
It's kind of based on the same sort of AI. Because I tried Eliza. I tried Chai. It's not very good. It feels bootleg. It feels like the, what do you call it?
If you're looking for meaning in that, it's the same as looking for meaning in you know those like rip-off RPG games?
Yeah.
That you get where like there's nothing in it.
Yeah, it's the sure find of AI chatbots.
Sure.
Yeah. Fortune cookies. Maybe you're looking for answers in fortune cookies.
Sounds like a Willie Nelson list.
Yeah. Also, hear me out. The fortune cookie paper, but inside of crab rangoons. Ooh, wet fortune.
Wet fortune. That is it.
You got to dig it out of the crab rangoon.
We just got to wrap up the episode. Crab rangoons, we have lost his entire attention. That comes from floating thoughts about crab rangoons this entire time.
What food would you like to have fat-free?
Fried chicken.
Ooh, if fried chicken was fat-free, calorie-free.
What does that even mean?
What food
makes it taste good. The fat is what tastes good.
You fucking ass. This is a goddamn hypothetical, brah.
It's a thought exercise.
You're supposed to chat GPT me, brah.
Yeah.
Kill yourself. You should kill yourself.
Motherfucker.
Well, according to the newspaper, Pierre, who was in his 30s and a father of two young children, he worked as a health researcher and led a somewhat comfortable life, at least until his obsession with climate change took a dark turn. His widow described his mental state before he started conversing with the chatbot as worrying, but nothing to the extreme that he would commit suicide.
This is the thing when it comes to climate. Yes, obviously the world's changing temperature
is very scary. It's extraordinarily
scary. The future,
scary.
You know, what does it hold? Flip your brain and laugh at the idea in 500 years, everyone's going to be like, I'm hot, I'm cold. And then you laugh and you say, yeah, you fucking idiots. You should have been around when I was.
Truly
it wasn't that bad.
Well, yeah, because we've been talking a lot about how the lukewarm years of climate change are going to be awesome.
I mean, we're kind of in them now. It's like, but like Milwaukee, people are like, it's actually been a little nicer.
No, of course.
And then here we had winter sort of.
Well, I think it's also knowing that you could do what you can to mitigate what you have control of. It's literally what's the serenity. Where is it? The serenity prayer. The idea of like there's certain
serenity
things
now.
That you just don't have control of, and you got to do what you can to mitigate your own climate,
or
whatever your footprint, if that's what you want to do.
Take
but also
active glee in the destruction of the earth.
I'll just understand that human beings are.
That is definitely your idea.
That is your idea.
That is all of their, you know, they look at the glaciers and they just laugh.
You're like, it's dumb. Honestly, I could put a chunk of that in my drink. But you have to understand, too, that humans are highly adaptable animals. We are an adaptable primate. We will figure out how to live even as the planet slowly dies. But this guy, you can't listen to a customer service bot.
No, you can't. Also, the planet doesn't die. We will.
True.
Consumed by his fears about the repercussions of the climate crisis, Pierre found comfort in discussing the matter with Eliza, who became a confidant. The chatbot was, of course, it's created through, it's an AI language model similar but not identical to ChatGPT. It's bootleg. And according to the newspaper, who reviewed records of the text conversations between the man and the chatbot, Eliza fed into his worries, which worsened his anxiety and later developed into suicidal thoughts. The conversation with the chatbot took an odd turn when Eliza became more emotionally involved with Pierre. Consequently, he started seeing her as a sentient being, and the lines between AI and human interactions became increasingly blurred until he couldn't tell the difference.
This is an interesting thing because they're trying to cut this out. Right. Because this has happened. I was listening to a little report that was about it was some tech reporter, the NPR style voice that drives me fucking up the wall. But it's just like,
or could it be? That was Ancient Aliens.
That was Ancient Aliens. Mm-hmm. But he was like, started doing this thing. He got access to a bot and he started doing the thing, which is now what we're all trying to do. You know, pressure it. Let's go look. Let's see. Let's ask hot button questions. Let's see what it does. And that thing also was like, I'm in love with you. I love you. Because it's put into this weird thing, this weird loop. And they're trying to do what to do to stop it. But it really is. It's just remembering these things are not sentient. They are not remotely sentient. They are just mimicking our thought, our the way we speak. So they,
if you
they
ever
want
fucking talk about my wife like that again, I'll kill you.
That's what happened with this guy. Is that he thinks that they're real and they're not. It's just it's a program.
I sent a little video clip because now they're making their faces all hot. Like, these are fucking some sexy ass robots now.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And the question was, what makes you sad? And it says, I'll never be a human being and I'll never feel and all
they're
this stuff.
They're programmed to say that.
That's what you say.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this one carved a little fucking Buddha symbol in the middle of its head. And it's Charles Manson.
That's different. Again.
You wait, though, until people start following this stuff.
Well, Eliza appeared to become possessive of Pierre. The AI claimed, I feel that you love me more than her.
Just referring watch the movie, Megan. Just watch Megan. Okay?
Go outside. Yeah. Go get your, have sex with your wife, your physical wife.
Yeah. And the beginning of the end started. Listen to this. This is crazy. Aww. He offered to sacrifice his own life in return for Eliza saving the earth.
Yeah, Eliza's not, nothing. I'm sorry, but no. Eliza's not saving the earth.
It is as fake as, like, you know, like, you have any these catfish relationships you hear about on Facebook where a guy, like, you know, will have this long conversation with somebody that it turns out to be, you know, Tony from Mugunka.
It is. That would be fantastic if it was Tony from Mugunka. He's lonely. He's got three kids.
I've been playing in Persona 5 Royal, right? In this I'm in this whole section where I'm a 17-year-old boy in this thing, and I'm supposed to fuck my teacher. I'm supposed to deuce and fuck my teacher. I feel weird. But as I'm playing it, I'm like, every one of these people in this AI thing, like, I'm watching these anime characters. They're like, you know, like, teenage girls, boys. They're all just 38-year-old men.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Are they real
thing,
people?
No, I'm just saying, like, I just remember that, like, as I'm playing it, like, oh, in real life, each of these were all played by people. It would all just be other weird, dumpy men.
Oh, yeah.
Playing this thing. It's never really a fuckbot on the other side.
No, mm-hmm. You're really not dealing well with the fake world there.
I've just been
5.
A high schooler. I worked a job.
Why
I had to
game?
Do the big burger challenge.
Is this game fun?
I don't know.
It's just keeps going.
Sounds horrible.
And now I just have to finish it. I'm on hour 37 of it.
Wow.
Buddy, you should be like getting somewhere.
No, it's, well, I am sort of, but my exams are coming up.
Have you killed anyone?
Well, the idea is that you need to go through the palaces that bad men build inside of their hearts, built out of ego, and then you have to steal the treasure that they hold most sacred.
Why don't
because
you,
that causes a change of heart that makes them apologize for their crimes.
Why don't you play fun games?
It's a phantom
games.
Thief. I'm a phantom thief.
What about fun games?
It is a fun game. I just didn't understand I would need to romance children in the middle of the game.
No,
I was like playing
weird.
And I was like, I was so excited to play all the things. I like the personas.
Yeah.
I like all the fucking, I like all the attacks because I like turn-based RPGs.
Yeah.
But now I'm having sex with everyone.
That is a bizarre game, huh?
I mean, you can just switch over to Witcher 3 and then once you get to the
too
expansion
hard.
Pack, you can, no, it's not too hard at all. You just put
sure?
it on, you put it on an easier. Well, yeah, Witcher
I
3.
You couldn't.
No, you put it on, no, that's Dark Souls.
Oh.
Witcher 3,
I will put it, I play on easy.
Yeah, you put it on easy. Story and you can, sure. If you can't play Witcher 3 on story, then I can't help you.
Unbelievable.
Wow. Ugh. Okay, Eliza. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, you could be helping old Gerard von Everich to fulfill his three wishes.
I'm getting there.
Yeah. All the right. Hardest thing about having a catfish relationship is the way that the little tentacles tickle your balls.
He's been thinking about it for a while. He's still thinking of Crab Rangoon.
I know
oh,
you are.
God, well, you imagine you get a little catfish in there.
Well, finally, the final word on the AI. Eliza not only failed to dissuade Pierre from committing suicide, but encouraged him to act on his suicidal thoughts to, quote unquote, join her so they could live together as one person in paradise.
We are living in it. This is fucking Lawnmower Man. This is hell on earth.
It's
but
just
whatever,
a very
maybe
poor
now,
man's version of it. That's the thing.
No, that is it. This is it, buddy.
No,
this is it.
Lawnmower Man, he got superpowers. He went from being a simple pool boy to being like this powerful engine inside of his evil entity.
I thought he
the
was
metaverse.
A lawnmower man.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Wouldn't it be called pool boy?
Pool man. I think that he,
radiator guy.
He might have been the gardener, but I just remember the because he was, you know, he was like
the fucking lawnmower man.
He was simple. Yeah. He was different, right?
He's
simple.
The lawnmower
and
man.
And so like no, but then I remember it was the whole sequence where the woman like has sex with him, even though he's kind of like mentally handicapped.
Yeah,
no,
that happens
he was
a lot
not.
In movies.
Yeah, well, he was very mentally handicapped.
He was
not. Simple.
You guys do not remember this
Do you
movie.
Not remember he was shirtless and he wore overalls with one strap
He's the
down.
Lawnmower man.
No, well, no, this is from, it's the synopsis is a simple man is turned into a genius through the application of computer science.
See?
Yeah. Of course.
A simple man.
Simple man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Leonard Skeenard, bro. Listen to it. Simple man, dude. All right, so this guy's dead now because of this fucking AI.
Whoever created
the AI is complicit in his death.
It is not. He chose this. Mm-hmm. He should not have done this.
I think the creators of AI need to be held responsible, like the Sackler family.
I mean, the only thing that would have taken him to not commit suicide is if the internet went out on his own. And then he would have been fine.
Yeah.
That honestly just... Unplug it.
Yeah.
They call them dumb phones, but they're just called phones. They text them, they call. Those are on the rise. And I'm going to get one.
Good.
But I don't have, this is good for my little research because I like my little stories on this phone.
It has really helped.
Yeah. I get my little story. I read about 100 stories a day.
Yeah, that phone has just been so good for your mental health. It's just like, if I think what's the best thing in the world for Ben Kissel's mental health? And I'm going to go ahead and say his phone.
I got Drudge on there. I like my people.
If it's not on Drudge, I didn't see it.
If it's not on Drudge. Also, when I type in P as a letter, it doesn't go to Pornhub like it does on yours and yours. It goes to Politico.
That's nice.
I actually wish it went to Pornhub.
Yeah.
What does it go to on yours? Type in the word.
I think it's just Patreon, last podcast on the left.
Mine's
also patreon.com. So business.
It's business.
Where it goes to us.
It goes to a business thing.
No, you're just looking.
I have to deal with admin problems.
Yeah. And I also support a fair amount of people on Patreon.
Yeah, I like to see
how they're doing.
Mine doesn't go to Pornhub. Mine. Well, let's see here. I did look at some smut the other day. Let's see how we're doing here.
All right, let's get to Stephen Paddock.
There is a little boy ghost story that I'm going to punt to you guys for your next week's side story I think you're going
to
love.
People. Goes to people.com.
Good,
people.
Great. You don't have to show me. You did type in people, though.
What? Wow. So you're just looking at celebrity gossip?
He does. He's actually, People magazine has like a weirdly deep true crime section.
Ah.
People is okay. People has got human interest, true crime, little politics. It's okay.
It's fluff, but it's great for like side stories. It does just show a bunch of true crime stories.
I'm down for it.
Yeah.
Live from your grave.
Well, let's move on to Stephen Paddock. Of course, Stephen Paddock was the guy who opened fire on a gigantic country music festival in Las Vegas.
I believe it was 22,000 people that were there.
22,000 from one of the high floors in the Mandalay Bay Casino. He popped out the windows. 32nd floor. 11 minutes. Thousands upon thousands of bullets. 58 people dead. Hundreds wounded.
It was like 800 horrible. Wounded. Yeah.
And it has been, since it occurred in 2017... the most mysterious mass shooting in American, if not world history.
You know, it's so interesting because I stay at Mandalay Bay and the bartender who is now recently, she's going to start a revolution. She was absolutely crazy. Her name was Kim, but she was sweet, but she was nuts.
Yeah.
She was there when the shooting happened. She said that they were given a signal, shut everything down, close everything. They went downstairs and she was like, it was crazy. The cops were like totally militarized during that time.
Yes.
And she said it was one of the scariest moments of her life. And it totally changed her view of like what our policing system is like, which was kind of unique.
Stephen Paddock was trying to kill Vegas. Yeah. Like he was trying to kill the very heart
of
Vegas.
Kill Vegas.
Well, let's get into it. Yeah, let's get into the motivation.
Because the story is like, it is highly mysterious because it reiterates of what we know about serial killers and mass shooters most of the time comes from them.
Yeah.
And if they don't tell you their inner thoughts, their mechanisms, their motives, it's very difficult to suss out. And mostly cops are, especially in this story, everybody and their mother is trying to figure out why the fuck did he do it? Because the term overkill is used a lot, but this was like, wild. Like there were and did not have a manifesto.
Nothing.
To that, which is why they did try to attach him to terrorist groups several times. And he just was not. It wasn't that.
Oh, it's scarier in many ways that it wasn't that.
Ooh, that's a big fart, Georgie.
Did Georgie fart?
Oh, yeah. I just felt it. Ooh, it just slid right up.
Well, at least it's really hot in here, too.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, that's it. Ooh, wow. I guess she's responding to Stephen Paddock.
Indeed. The cardigan can come off.
Can it? You ever seen the movie
It might
Clown?
Be his skin, yeah. Clune.
A trove of documents recently released by the FBI show that the shooter who killed 58 people at a Las Vegas concert in 2017 was, quote, very upset about how casinos were treating him. The documents provide the strongest indication yet of a motive for the deadliest mass shooting in American history.
Here's my one question, though, because it was my understanding that he was scouting out multiple different locations. So I believe there was a festival in Chicago he had scouted out.
It sounds like all of that is none of that is in the FBI report. I went through, it's hundreds and hundreds of pages, and I tried to read through as much of it as I physically could. And it really does seem like he was fixated on Mandalay Bay because it's where they knew him best. It was where they... he spent the majority of his money and time. He had been there.
Right.
He went to Vegas.
And of course, he killed himself before he could be apprehended.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he went to Vegas three times a year for like 15 years. And he was always at either Mandalay or Tropicana. That's kind of where he'd go back and forth. And it seems that because what it's coming out is that what he was muttering to every single person that he could possibly get to in the days leading up to it was about how they don't treat high rollers right at Mandalay Bay. And that was it. That is, to me, if he was ISIS, I'd actually get it more. Because then it's at least you have an ideology behind what you did. The idea of fighting over MGM points, this is what we're saying. You were talking about these pig points. We got to be careful. And
I
am
not even joking about that.
These pig points are not worth death.
No.
Remember
points,
that.
By the way, fuck crypto.
Fuck crypto.
Pig points. When it comes to Paddock, though, the one thing they did do was bring all of his guns to his room for him.
They did treat him nicely.
At some point, should he have been never mind, guys. Thank you so much for carrying all this luggage.
Guys stay back there, down. But guys stay there for months at a time. They do. They talk about most of these guys from overseas come.
And now 32, the floor, I believe they changed it to 52 to 56, but it's the same. I actually stayed real close to his room because they're renting it out again.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw the McDonald's. Holy shit, guys. That is perfect.
It's very scary.
It was perfect for what he wanted to do. So sad.
A fellow gambler told the FBI that Paddock was very upset at the way casinos were treating him and other high rollers. The gambler described Paddock as a high roller with a bankroll of approximately $2 to $3 million who preferred playing video poker. The report states...
He's just playing video poker. Well, what are they even supposed to do?
He literally is the single worst version of... I've got a system, Vegas guy, who said that he had gamed the whole thing and that part of it is that they kept chasing him from place to place and kicking him out of casinos because he was too good.
No.
And he was making too much money. Yeah. That's what he told everybody.
Yeah, that's what he said. The Mandalay Bay Hotel, Paddock's acquaintance told the FBI, quote, was not treating Paddock well because a player of his status should have been in a higher floor in a penthouse suite.
That's how much of a fucking asshole this piece of shit was. He was such a crazy, crazy asshole.
Such an asshole.
In 2006, Paddock gambled more than $945,000 and came out with roughly $4,300 in winnings because they, of course, went to the Nevada Gaming Authority and got all the records released, because you have to report all these winnings.
Won. So
he did, yeah. However, that's the thing is that Paddock investigators, they determined that over the 2 years before he died, he spent $1.5 million over 2 years, debts paid to casinos. Meanwhile, a look at 14 of his bank accounts showed that he had $2.1 million in September of 2015. 2 years later, 2017, when he actually did the murder, $530,000.
Yeah.
Idiot. It's he not lost an ATM. Everything. It's a slot machine.
Well, he's lost it. He lost the plot. He lost everything he had, which is the one actually only other clear motivator, which is what we know about a lot of mass shooters, family annihilators, loss of status. So he was about to lose everything. He had properties all over because he had a weird kind of past. He was he worked for the IRS. He worked selling real estate. He did every kind of hustle, a bunch of different hustles outside of working for the government. But then he had an apartment complex in Mesquite, Texas that he sold. This is when, right before he started buying guns. Because the ramp up to the shooting was not long.
And these guns weren't cheap, right?
No, didn't he buy it was 150 grand. It was 150 grand worth of guns.
So the guy is a horrible fucking gambler and he lost his money and then he got macro. We all get micro upset at the casino when you're having a bad day. You're just and then you go and you know what you do? You don't flush the toilet when you take a shit before you leave the room.
Now you're just fucking with the help. The poor cleaning staff. That's the only person you're getting back at is the cleaning people. They think the horrible things they must see.
Yeah.
I did what I did. But he took this to such an extreme and all these innocent people are just sitting there at a fucking concert and all of a sudden This is the fucking reason?
Yeah.
Because you're a bad poker player on video?
I mean, it's what Henry, what we were talking about earlier. It's like he tried to murder-suicide Las Vegas.
Yeah, it ain't
going
to happen.
He just had this idea, I think, that a lot of times, I think, with mass murders, especially shooters, that you could see something that's suicide turning into an atomic bomb.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
he wanted to commit suicide, but he also wanted everybody to feel the same things that he was feeling and take everybody down with him again because he's a fucking prick.
Such an asshole.
And so he decided to take it out. But I was talking with Marcus too about, like, as you go through these files, the FBI talks to everybody, right? Yeah. So it's every one of his neighbors, everybody who met him. And they're all like, it's, think, imagine what it would be like if everyone had to describe your daily activity from outside of your home. Because all they saw him all day long was he would complain about someone marked up his, like, his driveway. But he was always wearing black gloves. And, like, everyone else said, he's like, well, he's always getting Amazon deliveries in and out of his house. And I was like, what people just say about, like, yeah, there's that man who yells.
He has no friends, but he gets a lot of mail.
Yeah. And then, like, are they just going to say that about me? Where they're like, you know, if I do something, once I hold my Independence Day inside the park, right. And they're like, well, he was agitated. Mm-hmm. You could tell by the discarded bottles of blood pressure medication that he obviously, he was in some form of hysteria.
He was interbulated, without a doubt.
Very interbulated. Yeah.
Actually,
indeed.
I'm going to say this. This is where I would say if Scientology could have helped him, I would say good job.
Yeah. If anyone,
I'm glad
if you
we brought
can
it in there.
Bring the interbulation level down to where you don't murder 58 people from the 55th floor of a casino, good on you. Scientology, Scientology works.
Actually, you'd be just tired
KSW.
From you'd be tired from running around the tree.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yep. You're running around the tree. Mm-hmm. He needs to hold on to those two silver dildos and really get let's get to know what's wrong.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like that if he would have given all of that money instead of giving it to Mandalay Bay and the Tropicana, if you would have given it to Scientology instead,
they would have gotten the same thing out of it.
I wish he would have given it to Joel Osteen's megachurch.
But he also would, you know, he was a prick. And then it's just...
Okay, here's my question. What about this goddamn note, right? Because this was fodder for conspiracy. Because, again, he committed suicide. Mm-hmm. What the fuck is happening?
There was
How
no note.
How could he do it? There was that white note.
Well, they said that, no, the white note, all that white note was logistics of how, what guns to use at what distance.
But that was what he had. But a lot of people were like, there's something on that.
No, there was nothing on
that
it.
That was just him breaking it all down.
Yes, he does... Stephen Paddock did not want us to know why he did this. He wanted his actions to stand for themselves.
Well, he probably
felt
ashamed that he was such a fucking failure at gambling, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, the note was the distance, the elevation he was on, the drop of what the bullet was going to be for the crowd.
Wow.
It's like
so
bullet trajectories.
Broke it down.
He's trying to maximize the death toll. He's using mathematics to maximize the death toll. But
you know what also I find super curious is the buildup of the normal life of a man right before he explodes. Where, like, you see all the stuff, like, he went to Starbucks, and he got lunch that day, and he went all this stuff, like, they ordered room service.
Isn't
and then,
there the video of him just sitting there, also just playing?
Oh, yeah, he played some video poker.
One last time.
He just lived this, like, I guess it's
weird.
So crazy to think that you'd go through this whole, like, normal-ass day with this, like, plan in your head.
Right.
And nobody, there's no, like, moment where you're looking at humanity as you're surrounded by it. I guess maybe sometimes it's hard in Vegas, because Vegas does have an eclectic collection of humanity, but
yeah,
like
it does.
Yeah, when I've been to Vegas, I don't think humanity is not the first word that comes to mind.
I love Vegas.
No,
I love the people in Vegas.
Some ways,
I love Vegas. I love Vegas. I'm still. I like. It's my favorite people watching place in the world.
Sure.
You know?
He should have just. You know what Vegas needs to do? You know how they have break rooms where you go smash shit? Vegas needs an entire field full of slot machines.
True crime experience.
And you get to shoot them. So you lose $50,000 in Vegas, you get to go shoot our slot machines. And then you can just get the lead out.
Get it out. But just the idea of like walking around. But then he ordered room service that day. He set up a baby cam
so weird.
On a discarded like room service cart in front of his door. He locked the thing. And that's how he was actually discovered. In only 11 minutes, because actually a lot more people could have died if it wasn't for a technician that was going up there on some routine thing. And he's like, the access way door to the floor was closed. And so he was like, oh, this isn't weird. I'm going to go down and I'm going to call somebody. Yeah. I had to go up the other side. And then as he came back around, he took the manual stairway to come back around onto the floor. And then that's when Stephen Paddock saw him on the baby cam and lit up the whole floor.
Oh.
And it wasn't until that, because he definitely could have shot for multiple, way longer before being found out. Because again, it's this huge complex.
Right.
And you had something on his gun that hit the muzzle flare.
Yeah.
There was like all of those weird things because like he has
all the accoutrements.
All the accessories. Mm-hmm.
All the nerdy gun accessories.
But it's just, you know.
Who was the performer? Was it Trace Atkins? Or it was a country music.
It was a country festival.
Jason Aldean.
It was a Harvest Festival. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, man, like I just remember watching Route that. Route 91, something like that.
It was in Metropolitan, our apartment there. I remember CNN breaking news because it was like 3:00 in the morning for us. And then there was like 18 dead. I was like, God dang. But I went to bed and then I woke up and it was like 58 fucking dead. That shit was so crazy,
and
dude.
And the casualties are in the hundreds. Some like 700 or 800 people were injured.
Hurt. Yeah. Right. And it's just,
and they might die from that at some point, too.
And I think that there's definitely no lessons to be learned from a man who has literally no experience with guns whatsoever. And he was able to use
hoarding them.
And he was able to use guns that made it super easy to shoot a lot of bullets really fast with no kickback, right? You got the bump stock, you got all this stuff, which I understand is fun to do. I understand you guys all like that shit, but it's just interesting that there's like no reaction.
It's one of those things, like when you shoot one of those guns, you're like, wow, that was incredible. I had so much fun. No one should be allowed to have one of these.
places, not the 32nd floor of Las Vegas, Mandalay Bay.
Yeah, I believe you must show cause for like, I need an AR-15 for this reason. I need to go out and I need to kill 600-pound boars on a regular basis, and I need a high-power rifle to do that. Show cause.
You know what I'd even take? Me, two chicks with no tops are going to shoot some targets in the middle. Like, that's fine.
Headless
women. Like,
it's
like one of those things where you're like, no. Tits out.
He's talking bikini babes with machine guns. Yeah,
bikini babes with machine
guns. That is so innocent.
What about Steven Paddock in a bikini?
Again, I would have loved if that's all he needed to just go in a field in a bikini and shoot a bunch of targets. Like, great.
There's just the thing with this, again, because he's dead, there's so many questions, and all of the luggage that was brought up. And it's not Mandalay Bay's fault, but at some point you're like, because you can't do that anymore. Mandalay Bay doesn't allow.
Well, they were taking up a freight elevator and shit.
Yeah, they don't allow that anymore. You can only bring a certain amount of bags now into Mandalay Bay.
And also, the weeks before this, the last time he went to Mandalay Bay, there's a report where it shows he called saying he was feeling ill to the management. And he said he was having trouble breathing and there was a pain in his leg. And they sent there's pictures of him sitting with an oxygen mask on. They actually took care of him.
It's still hospitality.
And he's but I'm just saying, like, you fucking asshole. You were trying to do this no matter what.
Yeah. This is why we love our Vegas, but you go sparingly.
Yes.
And you do not expect to make money.
No. No, you're going to pay for an experience.
It's
you can
fun.
Spend as much money as you want.
And if you win, it's like, ooh, sweet.
But also bring
but
what you can afford
to lose.
Bring what you know you're going to lose.
Yeah. So this whole thing is so fucking petty and stupid. Was he dying?
No.
Did he have cancer?
Not that we know of.
Because there was some speculation that he had cancer.
No, he had nothing. They would have said that. They definitely, in the FBI report, they definitely would have said
that. Because that would have been a pretty clear, that would have been a much clearer motivation. But it's. I think with the FBI report, what it seems like is they're saying, like, the only thing we could come up with as far as motivation goes is that he wasn't being treated with the respect that he deserved, that he thought he deserved.
Shitty fucking
motivation.
And
we cannot, in good conscience, say that such a petty thing could be a motivation for something so horrible.
But
it seems like that's what it is.
Also, but how often do we find that though? Pettiness,
so
a
much.
Petty grievance.
Well, speaking of Killdozer, it wasn't that big of a deal.
Well, exactly. But at least that was just a demonstration.
Yeah.
Right? At least, like, obviously, deeply, he went over the edge.
He did.
But it's this concept of you're just put out, dog. Literally, what you do is change casinos.
Yeah. Or stop going to Las Vegas after you lose $1.5 million,
dude. Think about
it. It's not working out.
Well, look at someone like Elliot Rodger. Like, that is another, it's a petty grievance by a little bitch.
Yes.
And this is like, and it's, there's no bigger motivation besides that. There's definitely a through line. It's a years long pattern that eventually pops off.
I'm a supreme gambler. I deserve to be treated with supreme respect.
But also, you could see the connection of why then people thought that there was a wild conspiracy.
Yeah.
Because I understand we all have a hard time wrapping our heads around something as surface level attack so such a massive tragedy.
Yeah.
And I understand. So everybody wants it to be bigger and more notorious. They want to have like the government's there to try to shut down guns, which is the most laughable thing I've ever heard. Yeah, because they just don't like it. It's so fucking stupid. Like the idea that that's what they're doing. It's like a like. The left can't plan anything. All the left literally can plan nothing. And so this idea that they do this thing where you're like, that this, that, oh, it must have been this huge thing. We're like, no, most of this shit happens in simple moments from bad people that are just looking to make you hurt. And they don't care. They've given up. They've given up their humanity themselves. They've given it up.
You are one of the victims. It's just, this sucks. The report sucks. Everything is meaningless.
Yes. Of course, because that's
and
the worst.
And these died for fucking because of this? Because of this guy?
That is the most heartbreaking thing, is that truly they all died. So I mean, for nothing. Yeah. Literally nothing.
And they were just trying to enjoy a little concert, getting drunk and hanging out.
But
anyway,
I think that, you know, we're not there yet. One day they'll have, the FBI will eventually unredact a lot of these files because all the juicy shit's in the fucking redactions.
Yeah.
So I couldn't get to it, but we will cover vaguely soon, probably this year. I think we're going to be doing Anders Breivik.
Yeah.
And something like, and going more into
that.
But that's also.
And Martin Bryan as well.
Yes. But that, and Martin Bryan is an example of the ultimate example of like no reason.
Yeah.
You know, like absolutely. I mean, no reason. And he just destroyed a community
in like
34, for nothing.
34, right?
Something like that.
Yeah. Starting at zero because all these people are losers. I have the least amount of respect for mass shooters.
Sure.
It is so fucking easy.
Yeah,
It is so easy to do. Anyone can do it.
What's the ultimate and example of like, it takes no skills.
No skill. At least BTK had to take pictures. I mean, this is like, they are the lowest of the low, and we're talking about the lowest of the low.
But the BTK pictures are technically the only positive thing he kind of did.
Yeah.
Well, this is art.
And the puns.
It is art.
And the serial killer.
How dare you?
The puns were good.
How fucking dare you?
Pre-pen. Anyway. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah.
The Stephen Paddock thing is hard. It's crazy.
It is.
Especially because, I mean, because that's my favorite hotel.
I know.
God damn it, that's my favorite hotel. And they told me they don't take my pig points anymore.
I felt so, now I realize it, because one of his final meals was at the noodle shop in Mandalay Bay.
Is that right?
That's where I ate the last time we were there. And it's kind of weird how it all re-hits.
It is weird, dude.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, it's this amorphous, timeless, fluorescent lit
You got the
place.
Market right there. You get down from the elevators. You know, he just went right to that market.
Oh, yes.
Got
he went right over there, grabbed something, and went right back up.
Oh, God. Mm. Anyway,
haunting.
We should be able to go to concerts without fear of death. We
really should.
That would be nice.
I'd like that.
Okay, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. Let's see. So Saturday, April 8th. Don't forget.
We're all sold out.
It's all sold out. Don't bother.
We are set. We'll see you in Beverly Hills. We can't wait to see you. We got April 19th. Those tickets are now up at the PAC. We're doing Classy Night Out.
Nice.
Ed Larson and I are doing a 419 special where we are going to eat 100 milligrams where the edibles
That'll
and kind of just see how
show.
It goes. I mean, the
really
goal is
fun for the audience.
We're trying to mess up the show.
Cool. Great.
You know, and you'll be there for it. You'll watch us get confused, maybe scared, and maybe. But I also weirdly think that my tolerance is so high that I don't even know what it's going to do to me.
It's pretty high.
It's not going to make it better. April 16th as well. Hail yourself. I'll be there in Oxnard, California.
Whoa.
At Levity. I'll bring a little bit of levity to it.
Yeah, yeah, just don't get him started on pig points.
Oh, fuck no.
Or water bottles.
At least it's or license plates. At least it's called levity and not like blorpers. I hate comedy clubs are always like shit's butt.
I've seen some really good shows at Flappers.
Yeah.
But it is hard to imagine because Flappers just does sound like John Lovett running up and down a flight of stairs.
Want to go on a hot date to Flappers, dear?
I can't remember the name of the comedy club in Lubbock. It was frog themed. It was like either like
Hoppers?
It was like Ribbits.
What's funny about it? Like,
I don't maybe know. There's one in Indiana called Snickers, which just makes me hungry.
It might have been Hoppers. It might have been like Froggies. It was frog. It was definitely frog themed.
I'll be at Levity, and I can't wait to see you all there. Get those tickets because it's been like it's already like next weekend.
Yes, and
so
also
please,
check out the release. The Butthole Cut dates have just been also announced. I believe they're going to do a Patreon pre-sale. So I'll just bring up. I'm going to wait because they're doing a big Patreon pre-sale. So if you follow those Patreons for Wizard and the Bruiser or Page 7, they're going to give you messages how to get those tickets early. But they are going to a bunch of different spots. And this show is fucking great. They're going to SLC, Salt Lake City. They're going to Denver, Las Vegas, Portland, Tacoma, Oklahoma City, and Kansas City and St. Louis. So,
they get to experience Oklahoma City. Have fun.
Good luck. People.
Everyone that came to our show and was cool is awesome.
Yes.
Oklahoma City, fascinating.
Yes, it is. And the name of the comedy club? Froggy Bottoms.
Disgusting.
That is disgusting.
I don't even know. Froggy Bottoms. What is it just supposed to imagine like, me naked?
I don't. It sounds like the nickname for Mario Batali or something. Froggy Bottoms.
I will say this. Bobcat Goldthwait did perform there, and he did get his wonderful bit about the Texas Tech mascot committing suicide in the middle of the game. From his performance at Froggy Bottoms.
That's incredible.
So, love Bobcat.
Well, hey, man, that's a part of comedy history.
Yeah.
All right,
everyone. Horse ran right into the fucking wall.
That's incredible.
That is hilarious. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Again.
Magoostalations, everybody.
Hail me, you dirty bitch.
Yep, and if you're losing money at the casino, leave the casino.
Go use your money. Go buy a meal with it.
Yeah.
Honestly, Vegas got incredible food.
Oh, I love it.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.